This is a HeadGum Podcast.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by the Fine Dining Podcast. Caroline, do you like to dine finely?
I do, because it rhymes with my name.
Caroline, dine fine, drinking water, drinking wine.
With Diane Feinstein.
With Diane Feinstein. RIP. Fine Dining, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America, is a podcast where comedian Michael Ornelas is traveling the country, eating at all the chain restaurants in search of the perfectly average 5 out of 10 dining experience. The objective middle threshold of where bad becomes good, which if you listen to this podcast, you're very familiar with the concept.
With a 5 out of 10 experience.
And bad maybe becoming good as God saves us. Recently, featured guests include Marissa Pinson and John Glover as they review Costco's Food Court. It's a two-part episode that covers everything from discontinued menu items to how many hot dogs could fit in their mouths. And today, his IHOP episode dropped. So right now, head over to linktree.com/finediningpodcast and click Bee's Giveaway to enter for an all-expenses-paid trip to your local Applebee's, the current frontrunner for the most mediocre restaurant in America at a 5.02 out of 10. For you and three of your friends, and you can watch or listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Caroline, who would you take?
Oh my gosh,
Applebee's.
If I got a table for four at Applebee's.
Yeah.
Obviously, love of my life, Nathan, gonna be there.
My fingers are crossing.
Who likes chain restaurants?
I'm getting a nosebleed.
Probably my friend Jeremy.
Oh,
okay.
I know him.
That leaves one more. Let me ask you a question,
yeah,
Kevin.
Yeah.
If you were gonna order an Applebee's right now, what would you get?
I'd get a fried onion if they had it.
All right, you're in.
So okay.
As long as we can share.
Hell yeah. Listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Enter by May 1st, and the winner will be announced on the May 8th Chipotle episode. That's linktree.com/finediningpodcast. The hunt for the best Christian song of all time continues on today's Good Christian Fun.
I love
This is where it gets scary.
You got me straight gripping.
That is bootlegged audio of Mel Gibson losing his mind. And for those that couldn't make it out, he screamed, "Why don't I have a first draft of the Maccabees?"
So our theme song is becoming like a celebrity sex tape, but instead just like the horrible things they've screamed in private.
Well, at least there wasn't, you know, any expletives.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, I am on the fence
except
about the
bitch.
Roseanne clip because, yeah, that is a little hateful, but more towards herself.
But Oprah kicks us off.
And with love.
Yeah.
For bread.
Anyway.
Well, by the way, I thought it would be a funny exercise to just listen to what the clips sound like without the music.
I was going to suggest you do this.
Here's what it sounds like.
If you don't like this stuff, go ahead and skip ahead.
I love
play.
I'm just chilling.
Bazinga.
Hey, okay, bang. Bitch, watch this.
Chilling.
Bazinga. Bazinga. Bazinga.
There's
Trebek. There's Urkel. There's Amy. There's Drew Tarver's dad.
You got me straight tripping.
Gaga. There's Cheers. There's Home Improvement. And then Mel Gibson. Welcome to Good Christian Fun. I'm Kevin.
I'm Caroline.
We're here to have Good Christian Fun.
Wait. I know we should move on, but I do need to know who's saying, "Oh, you got me straight dripping, boo."
That's Eugene Levy and Bringing Down the House, the classic Steve Martin, Queen Latifah movie from 2004.
I'm so glad our guest is enjoying this.
Oh, boy.
Welcome to our podcast.
I mean, that's what a great sampler of what this podcast is all about.
God, I love
Eugene
it so
Levy.
Much. That's felt really good.
Good Christian Fun is, of course,
I'm
the
so
podcast
sorry.
Where
I
you
have to interject.
Yeah,
I just have a quick question. Mary. Have you seen Last Holiday, Queen Latifah joint?
Wait.
No, I have seen Almost Christmas, though. Different.
Sorry, too.
Wait, is that a Christmas movie with Queen
it
Latifah?
It is. LL Cool J is also in it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of asides to God, real, just classic comedy.
Like her,
and
like looking at the guy, like, nice one.
Oh, I wish it was that subtle. That's generous. It's a lot of like, why, God? And LL being like, who you talk to? And her just being like, God. Oh, okay. Very cool.
Queen Latifah has nice hold on kind of the Christian or Christian adjacent film market.
Mm-hmm.
The
I guess
film
so, yeah.
we talked about last week, Miracles from Heaven. She had a big supporting role in that one as well with Jennifer Garner, where yeah. she played a helpful waitress that gave them a tour of Boston.
Of like the aquarium. And she's Queen Latifah, yeah. like with more fun hair. And she just takes them around and is really nice.
Oh, man. Yeah. But of course, this podcast is the podcast where we talk about Christian pop culture, Christian movies, music, entertainment, things like that. Caroline and I were raised with it. We are still technically, legally Christians, but we're not here to make you go to church or preach to you or proselytize to you. And we're not here to bash you either. If you believe that or believe something different, we're just here to talk about it
yeah.
and have fun.
Great summary.
Good Christian fun. But if you are interested, we do have literature for you after the show. We always have literature.
Kevin just hands out Nancy comic strips.
Oh, I mean, that'd be the best. If you're not up on Nancy, listen, it is.
You're not close to God.
Invariably, there will be a moment every day where I'm like, wait a minute, I haven't read today's Nancy. And I'll go and read it. And it always is good.
I just read through the whole back catalog and it was great.
It's great. It's so great. Olivia James crushing it.
Great recommendation.
But the topic for today is the hunt for the best Christian song of all time. Best, we can be loose with our definition of it.
Sure.
But we need help from a very special friend and a very special guest to do it with us. Ladies and gentlemen, you may know her from Comedy Bang Bang, from Teachers, and from her sitcom AP Bio on NBC. Ladies and gentlemen, give it the hell up for Mary Soul! Oh boy. Mary, thank you so much for joining us.
Wowie, it is so wonderful to be here. It's really
what a great time. Mary did ask before we started recording, fair question. She said, so am I myself or am I playing a character?
I believe I eloquently said, are we just people? What does that
just
even mean?
People. We are just people.
And that's really what it's all about. You hit upon the big theme of this show. We're just people.
Hey.
We're just figuring it out. It's okay.
Do you feel like you're playing a version of yourself?
Did
on
you say
the
a
show?
Version of yourself?
I didn't, but it's interesting you heard that.
Okay. A version of myself? Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I play a low status character when I co-host. That's true. I'm not kidding.
Low status character?
Yeah. Like whether I'm co-hosting with Alice Wetterlin or with my old friend Demi or you, I usually go low status. Like, yeah, you're right. I suck.
Oh, interesting.
Like, I usually lean into that.
That's nice.
Whereas in real life, I'm a bully.
Wow. Yeah. I saw it.
And I'm really, see, Mary saw a flash of fire in my eyes and on my head. Mary, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks
for
being here. This is welcome
so fun
to
already.
GCF.
How fun. Well, what is your background, your history with faith, God, religion, all that
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah. Did you grow up with like Christian things very often?
Oh, yeah, baby.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, great.
I grew up Presby. That's short for Presbyterian.
Presby.
Yeah. My parents were super religious. My dad has since passed. And I think that deserves a round of applause.
Oh, okay.
For him.
Yay.
Yay, Presby dad.
My mom, who is living, mm-hmm. is very Christian. Very Christian. And like,
still the Presbyterian
Christian
flavor?
Is she? Mm-hmm.
Oh, she's so Christian. She goes to church every day.
Whoa! Even when it's not
wait,
open.
Really? She does go every day? Or
well,
pretty
who's
going
to do that morning prayer? Who's going to do that morning prayer? She wakes up at 4:30 in the morning and goes to morning prayer.
Wow.
And it's, wait, and it happens at the church? It's not just like a ritual for herself at home?
No, it's kind of like a quiet, like a smaller led prayer.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Every day. Is that common in Presbyterian churches? I'm not familiar.
Like,
is
it in Korean Presbyterian churches?
You get to have it every day. Okay, cool.
Yeah. She loves God every day.
I've never woken up at 4:30 on the regs for anything.
No.
Much less common prayer. I'm trying to think. I think there was a time in my life where I did try to wake up early and like, the first thing I'm going to do is pray this morning.
Yeah.
And it always just ended up, okay, Father God.
And fell back so many times.
Immediately. Immediately. I don't think prayer should be the first thing you should do is like, eat or like get dressed or something.
Scroll
like,
Instagram. Yes. Wake your brain up.
Or honestly, go on a walk. Sometimes I've been getting into a habit now. First thing I do is go on a walk. I mean, if you want to pray or meditate then on your walk, great. You can do it then while you're walking.
That's nice.
So great to wake up early enough to go on a walk.
What?
How luxurious your life wow. must be.
What? No, it's wow. I wake up at 6 I'm not rolling out of bed.
I'm not in a dead rush out the door.
Sorry, this is why slamming. Male privilege seeping through. I apologize. My walks.
Woof, it is showing.
Yeah,
oh, boy.
It's embarrassing.
So that was your parents, but then how did you feel about that growing up?
Oh, so like I think it just felt so like that's what you're supposed to do. And then we switched over to this white Presbyterian church, and there were these things like my sister was 2 years older than me, and we went on these trips called Go and Serve.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we'd go to these different places and like basically volunteer. Nobody wanted the help that these stupid high school kids were doing, but we were doing it. And I remember she found so much fulfillment in it. And I was so disappointed. I feel like that was when my faith started to like waver a bit, was when I was like, church has the same politics as anything. And it was really disappointing to me. I wanted it to be the one place that it wasn't that way.
Mm, where things were fair.
Yeah.
Did you feel like it played out because there were kids who were like favorites in the group or something like that?
Yeah, I guess so. Like favorites with the people that they had grown up with in this church.
Mm-hmm.
And in my sister's own way, she found her own little niche too. I just didn't buy it anymore. Mm-hmm. It just felt really like this is supposed to be the house of God. And it just didn't feel like it.
Can I ask? I don't know a lot about the Korean Presbyterian Church.
And why not?
Obviously.
It's weird that you don't know a lot about the Korean Presbyterian Church.
Did you notice much difference between those two churches or that experience for you?
Yeah, the white Presbyterian Church was really like based in tradition. And even the building was like this brick, beautifully constructed building that was just like very regimented. I think the Korean church was a little less organized and was we rented a certain part of another church. Okay. So it wasn't even like we had a church.
Yeah.
Oh,
like, had
gotcha.
The yeah. Mm-hmm. It was a little wilder. But I will say one thing through and through, and I still love to this day, are hymns.
Hymns.
Like classic hymns.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Hymns make me feel something.
Because
yeah.
I guess in the Presbyterian church, you're not singing contemporary worship. You are still singing the hymn stuff.
Little bit of column A, little bit of column B.
Okay, so contemporary stuff, what would it be? Do you remember any of those songs?
Well, contemporary at that time, but it was new to us and we loved it, was As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after you.
After you.
Thee.
After thee.
You are Lord, I'm a straight my
sheep.
And you are Lord, may my spirit yield.
Yeah, that is a cool song.
Yes, thank you. I've been trying to convince you of this for a long time.
Fresh song.
Listen, in the first line, we're talking about deer panta thing. That's cool.
That is a strong visual image. Yeah, contemporary music because, yeah, like 90s, 2000 stuff. Was there any shout to the Lord? Proto
yes.
Hillsong mm-hmm. to what we know now is like the big Death Star worship music. Hillsong
yeah.
was like, oh, they have a few songs I know. When now it's just like, this is everything. This is all that there
drift.
Is. Yeah. Oh, Hail Hillsong. Hashtag Hail Hillsong for sure.
They are. They're great.
Our God is an awesome God. He reigns.
Yes.
But hymn stuff, you know, we've never really talked in depth about hymns.
Yeah, which arguably is such Christian culture. That should be, I guess we've just always talked about stuff from the 90s or whatever.
Christian.
About the 1890s.
Well, I guess technically, yeah, exactly. Stuff only 1890s kids will understand on BuzzFeed. Like,
you know, when you're like panteth and.
Oh, clickbait.
I mean, do you think hymns are technically pop culture? Or are they just culture? Is that just music culture? I'm getting real persnickety technical about this.
You are getting technical about it. I don't know what the definition was. I mean, at the time, would that be their pop culture?
Sure, that was probably their newsboys, was It As Well. Shine. It As Well. I remember It As Well. It As Well has a wild story. What's that?
This year.
Yeah. It As Well has a wild backstory to it. I remember the guy went through a lot of shit and a lot of suffering.
It As Well with My Soul.
Yeah. Oh. It Is Well with My Soul. What were the ones you remember singing growing up?
I don't know why this one came out of the gates, but Deep and Wide.
Okay. Deep and Wide. Deep and wide, there's a
fountain flowing deep and wide.
Fountain. Wait,
fountain?
There's fountain. A flowing deep and wide.
You know, also, I was a big Away in a Manger head. I don't mean to be too Christmassy, but damn, I love that song.
Oh, damn, it's so good.
Damn.
Away in a Manger. Come Thou Fount, I feel like, has become a new Christmas standard in
How
a way.
Does that go?
I think
I'm now found of every blessing to my heart to sing thy praise.
Yes.
I think because of the Sufjan
Jesus
arrangement.
Oh, come on. Even a stranger.
Yep.
Come on.
I forgot.
Wandering from her and her God.
You're letting us just indulge in our singing fantasies now. Thank you.
Yeah, this is the dream podcast where three people just kind of sit around, go like, and then the one goes like,
until one of us is like, can you not come in until I finish that?
Yeah,
and then
hang
you
on. I just want to layer
later. Get to the B section first.
You're on harmony.
But yeah, the Sufjan arrangement, I think, makes it more, and I know a lot of churches now use Come Thou Fount, because literally, I think only because he played Jingle Bells over it on the Songs for Christmas EP.
Oh, as a Christmas song.
And now it's like, well, I guess it's a Christmas song now.
We'll take all we can get.
It's what reminds me of Christmas. I remember editing a video like 6 or 7 years ago of just like, I just got a new camera, so I was just shooting footage of all my friends at Christmas time and going to like tree lightings and gingerbread house parties and stuff, and I put it to that song, so it's like inextricably
a
in my
song.
Head.
That's so strange. I would never thought that.
That is Here Comes Christmas for me.
That's right.
Oh, I'm having a rando question that I want to ask you guys. The one thing in church that makes me cry so hard are when children sing in a group.
Oh,
like, it doesn't matter what they sing. It's just so dang pure. Is there something in church that makes you guys just like cry without fail?
Ooh, this is good. I think
That's
a great question. I think oftentimes in the past when I've seen baptisms, those are like really lovely.
Yeah.
One of the churches we used to go to too, they would do it in a way that was like, I mean, it was a little rock and roll.
it was like kind of a lot, but it was powerful.
Yeah.
But they had people like projected on a big screen. It was on the stage and it was like a mass
that was for
baptism.
Easter.
Yeah. It was like cranking them one after the other, but it was so joyful. And there was like a choir. I think choirs make me cry.
Yeah.
At any time. I think the unifying spirit of people singing music together, and especially, I guess, with kids. Yeah. Like when they're, but the thing with kids is there's just always one. Who God help him?
You're gonna
he's
get a
gotta,
wild card.
He
You're gonna get at least
loose
one wild
up there.
Card.
He is doing whatever he wants. And that stops the tears. It kind of just turns it into a hilarious
joy.
So
faith for you. Did you feel like was there like a moment where you feel like it kind of slipped away from you, or did it feel like a slow chipping away over time?
You know, I feel like that's a tough question to answer because I don't really know where I stand now.
Oh, okay.
But I do know even as a really young kid, I was super spiritual. I felt things a lot. So like one time when I was getting confirmed.
Oh, sure.
Oh, excuse me.
Yes.
Pardon.
Are you looking at me differently now?
I am.
I didn't know we were in the presence of a confirmed person.
Well, kiss my ring.
Two denieds and one confirmed right over here. We keep applying. They will not accept us.
I don't like it.
It's unfortunate.
No, I'll get you in there. I'll get you into the kingdom.
You have an in?
Oh,
nice. We finally have an in.
We'll talk about it afterwards. I remember we were like on our knees and like our sponsors had their hands on us.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember in that moment, I couldn't help it, but my body started like swaying.
Wow. Yeah.
In a way that I really was like, I don't think I'm nervous or anything like that. I've never exhibited signs of nervousness through like weird swaying. I swear to God, it was the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Really?
I really.
Even to this day, you think.
Yeah. Because it was such a thing of like, I can be conscious and it's not my body like betraying me right now. I was feeling something. And even like my person who was kind of laying hands upon me, I think she felt it too in a way that wasn't like she wasn't trying to stabilize me or anything
or
like
that.
Or
she wasn't like pushing you.
Which ooh, it's a Ouija body.
So that's marked in your mind of like, I do have this spiritual touchstone for me that's that's like still there and still important.
And weirdly, like 2 years later after that, I remember at something with my parents, I was like really upset. I was like crying in my bed upstairs and I was kind of hunched over and I felt this very calming like hand on my back that was just really like supportive in a way that I mean, hell, it might have been a ghost. I don't know. But
it wasn't that, spooky, though. It felt comforting more.
Really comforting, yeah. Aww.
Those are interesting. It's hard. Those sort of things are really hard to deny on some level. It's hard to know what to do with those. And especially like as you get older and the more you enter adulthood, because the emotional memory of it is still probably so clear and so resonant. It's like, you have to do something with it. You can't just be like, whatever, who cares? Because it feels so strong. I think about this all the time with like, when people have experiences they would describe as paranormal or something with like a ghost or a spirit, whether it's like malevolent or positive. Mm-hmm. You have to do something with that stuff.
But as you get older, I think as an adult, it's so much harder to talk about because then you all of a sudden get 1,000 ghost experts that are like, actually, it's actually not very common to feel that sort of, or whatever the hell.
And they start ghost-splaining to you. Yeah.
And I don't have time for it.
No.
But just in a way that you feel like you have to prove something when really it was just like, I had this experience. That's what it was.
Yeah. And you know? I feel comfortable having no explanation and also like knowing it's true. I don't need you to like tell me the like metaphysical reality of it or whatever.
Do you feel like you've ever experienced something like that? Like some sort of like physical phenomena or encounter that was positive? You've talked about the negative stuff, like demonic stuff you feel like you've encountered.
Yeah.
Whoa,
yeah.
Really?
I think I don't know how to describe it. Like the demonic stuff, without repeating myself too much, was more of like, I think a lot in my head and just like the fear of knowing what it is or it could be coming for me and all that kind of stuff.
Coming for me like and take over my body or coming for me and like act out in a negative way to your person?
Usually it was just like they will just come into my room like at nighttime.
Oh, or like something like that. The devil.
That was all it took. Yeah. Or just like demons or whatever. Were you raised with like a lot of demonology kind of stuff at all?
No, but I do just, so sorry, I don't mean to cut off your sentence, but like I, one time when I was smoking marijuana, and I don't want to blame it on the marijuana, but I like looked in the mirror and I just like said to myself, I was like, you are evil. You are an evil man. In that moment, I thought I was an evil man. Like,
no,
very freaky.
That's
but
terrible.
Please, yeah, continue.
Yeah, that's interesting. I can see the parallel, though. But I, as far as positive stories, I think I have. I don't think I'm ready to share them. They're still special to
me.
But have you though?
I don't think so.
Having like kind of supernatural thing.
Supernatural, like positive, something tangible. I don't think I have.
Or even just like a feeling.
The one thing that I think I might have mentioned before is like being slain in the spirit when I was 12.
But which, you said that was like not real.
It was fake news. It was a guy put his hand on my forehead and pushed me down. And I was like a 12-year-old kid. And people caught me and stuff. But it was a little Benny Hinn situation, unfortunately.
Wow.
Yeah. Which is really intense. It's kind of confusing when you're a 12-year-old person trying to suss out like how spiritual life would even work. And you have adults around you saying like, oh, it works like this. You know, I'm pushing you.
Yeah.
It was very confusing at the time.
And then kind of the jig is up of like, you just made this up. What?
It's really stuck with me.
It really honestly
has stuck with me. Mm-hmm. Like stuff like that.
That was a slippery slope for you.
Yeah, exactly. So now you're open. You're open to whatever things might be, whether it's supernatural or death and then there's nothing. Or do you still consider yourself a spiritual person?
I think so.
Yeah.
I do think so. I think like if there is a God, I believe in the purest form of that, whatever that is. Mm-hmm. And I do see like love between people and animals and like the spirit moving in between people. I really, and like waves of energy. I really do believe in that. Speaking about the kind of spooky or parts of Christianity, sure. I remember people came to like pray for my father who has passed away, and I think that deserves a round of applause. thank you. So this group of people came, and I remember I was 30 and too scared to like look up over the couch because they started speaking in tongues.
Sure.
Well, over your father?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was in my like living room, and I also heard my mom's voice in there. I've never heard her. It sounded like she was speaking French. It was so bizarre in a way that I'm like, I didn't know we were that type of Christian. Yeah, like,
oh, we do that.
Whoa. I mean, it was like very bizarre, and yeah. I was truly too frozen to just like peer up over the couch. I was too scared.
You were just like, I can't look at it. Yeah.
Because I was scared about like, what if I look and it's something that like my brain won't be able to wrap around.
I know what you mean. Yeah. Like something's just hovering or whatever. Ooh, or just
I know.
Looks different. Or,
I was fully expecting my mom to like look like shaped different.
Shape shifting. Shape shifting.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, the tongue stuff is always really the anything that's like overt spiritual gifts, because the thing where I was slain in the spirit, that would be a charismatic church that's more like into prophecy, tongues, where I don't even know the other spiritual gifts. Dopey, sleepy, happy, Peter, Greg, Bobby, Jan, Marcia,
Charlotte,
Iron Man, Thor, all the spiritual gifts, all the colors of the rainbow.
Oh, that's what they're called. They're called gifts.
Those are, yeah, those are specific gifts. One of them, there's a spiritual gift, the gift of hospitality, which I always find hilarious.
Just how cute. Delightful. Or like the gift of administration. Yes.
My gift isn't just general fellowship.
It's kind of filing really well, keeping things.
I like to think homemade snickerdoodles is my spiritual gift.
Very cool.
Is.
Thank you.
It's great.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Well, cool. Thanks for sharing your story and kind of
background.
Framework with us.
Truly, there's so much that has been said today that I have like never told anyone.
That's
really?
So crazy.
Yeah, but it's because I think you just, well, I don't know about you guys, probably you a lot more than me because of this podcast, but really, like, getting into that, I think it's very vulnerable, I think.
Yeah.
Especially it is
in
vulnerable.
This godless town.
Helloy?
you see the Hollywood sign. I see a sign saying, Babylon, exit left.
We're like, Hollywood.
Hollywood is a good
And you are
up.
Going straight to Hollywood.
Dear Lord.
Yeah, it's Dear funny because we've, I like, there have been a few people that have said that, too. And I understand it, too, because I feel like beyond this podcast, even with me, like, I'm not talking about my church life very often. It's like with friends that I know or have known from church would be the only other occasion. So
right, because you know what you call the person that would like bring that up and prompt it a lot? A weirdo.
Yeah.
Like if I just met you at a party, I'm like, so how'd you grow up religiously? And we just like dove into that. You'd be like, what are you trying
to do? What's your order at Chipotle? And also, like, you ever heard your mom speak tongues?
Again.
Yes or no, quick.
The podcast really is self-serving in that, weirdly, the formality of it is a framework that makes it less casual, but then more open in
it
a way.
It does.
Because it opens people up where it's like, it's safe. I won't be mean to you. Because I'm talking to, you know what I mean? Like, well, these people aren't going to be jerks or trap me because it's like, well, debatable.
It's early.
I
it's
guess,
early.
Yeah. Yeah, we're only 20 minutes into it.
The gift of editing.
Yes, that's my spiritual gift. The gift of bleeping and blooping. Beep, boop, beep, boop. Oh, boy. Well, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back with more good Christian fun. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, Caroline, I got a question for you.
Yes.
How is your social battery right now? Are you feeling drained? Do you got a lot of energy right now? Where are you at with things as we speak today?
Well, you know, when you're pregnant, famously, your social battery is endless, actually, because you're powered by a baby battery.
It's like someone slaps a mag charger onto your phone.
Exactly.
And you can go for like 24 hours more.
I am the U.S. Marines of taking down social situations. I feel incredible all the time. So yeah, that's where I'm at. What about you?
Wow. Well, I'm feeling a little drained. And sometimes it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, which is maybe the zone I'm in right now. Mm. And for me, spreading myself too thin is like going to a lot of like
Garfield events recently that have been happening over town.
Oh,
with
yeah.
The new movie coming out.
I didn't get so excited about those. You got to spread those out a little more.
I know. And I need to really protect my energy and stuff. But, you know, it's worth asking ourselves, what's the right amount of socializing and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need a little me time, a little alone, introverted time. But either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. So things like tuning into yourself, feeling and understanding what you want and need yourself, and then being able to communicate that to those around you, and then most especially to yourself.
Well, if you can't get pregnant immediately, that sounds like a pretty good solution as a backup.
And again, I think I might have even said this before. If I could get pregnant, I would, just to understand what it's like to have even like boundless energy that
right.
could kind of propel me into
to feel
like,
as incredible as to, you could feel.
To exercise more, mm-hmm. to be working out like 3 hours a day.
Exactly.
Working 9 hours a day on top of that. And then
good
going,
brain.
Going out 2 hours. Yes, such a good brain on top of that. So if you're thinking about starting therapy, maybe give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. If you don't like the first person you get, don't worry, there's another one on the docket. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GoodChristianFun today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
10%?
.com/GoodChristianFun. You got some thoughts on that 10%?
That's a good deal.
It is.
The
I agree.
The first month?
And especially because 10% is where I'm feeling my battery is right now. That's BetterHelp.com/GoodChristianFun.
Welcome back to Good Christian Fun. Now, before we get to the hunt for the best song of all time, it's time for another installment of a segment we started on Second Service.
Okay.
Called, Hey, What's Going On with Lauren Daigle?
Look up, child.
You're so obsessed with Lauren Daigle.
Is she Christian?
Do you know
yes.
Daigle?
Do you know who she is?
I've heard her, yeah.
How?
I think she was on a weird Apple playlist I had.
Oh my gosh.
Oh,
wow.
She,
okay.
She's doing branded content
I mean,
with Alexa
big.
On her Instagram.
Is she really?
Oh yeah.
In between Cracklin's bits.
Hi y'all.
She's
okay, so a little God's plan. And for listeners that may not know or haven't listened to that episode, Lauren Daigle is probably the biggest like solo artist in Christian music right now. Kind of doing a crossover thing a little bit, even though her music is explicitly Christian. Her voice sounds a lot like Adele, and she does like a lot of Adele sound-alike songs and then some like contemporary worship songs as well. But she's getting legitimate like TV time. She was the musical guest on Tonight Show with Fallon, and she did Ellen. And in the first installment of this segment, we talked about the backlash that she got from a Christian audience because she did Ellen.
Oh, come now.
Ellen is gay. And blah, 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 blah. And she started getting criticism. She said, this is the first time in my career that I've ever gotten criticism, which I find to be extraordinary.
How? First
if that's
time?
True.
How?
She said that.
Oh, welcome to the big leagues, babe.
Yeah.
Now,
over Ellen.
I just love checking in with this girl and seeing what's going on, though, because it is getting worse. It's getting worse for Lauren Daigle. Oh. So here's what happened. She was on a radio show. And the guy, the radio host, she called in, so the audio is kind of bad, but the guy asked her point blank, I think the guy's conservative, I don't know, he sounded like a weirdo, I didn't want to look into him, but he asked this question point blank.
Well, since we're talking about Ellen, do you feel that homosexuality is a sin?
Her answer?
You know, I can't honestly answer on that in the sense of I have too many people that I love that they are homosexual. I don't know. I actually had a conversation with someone last night about it, and I was like, I can't say one way or the other. I'm not God. So when people ask questions like that, that's
I don't
what
know
my
her.
Go-to is. Like, I just say read the Bible and find out for yourself. Because, and when you find out, let me know, because I'm learning too.
Wow, you're a pro already.
Okay, that got some.
Okay,
gross.
Buddy.
Yeah.
Wow, you can really talk for a girl.
You know, we're making fun of him, but I bet his theme song sounds like ours.
Well, I think he was probably almost just commending her on giving kind of a dodgy answer, which is what that was.
Oh, yeah. His next question was, do you support the Me Too movement?
Are you
and
serious?
Have you been sexually harassed?
Really?
And
he
she said
this?
Yeah.
What'd she say?
She did not answer about Me Too, but she did say, I've never been sexually harassed, or if I have, I didn't realize I have.
Yeah, you didn't realize any.
So anyway, so this is, I just want to talk about this for a second. I know we were pretty critical of her in our episode, but I find this moment culturally to be completely fascinating. Because she said, I don't know.
That's huge.
I don't know. So there's like a couple of options here for what's actually true. One, she does believe homosexuality is a sin and she's covering her bases.
Right. And I like only Christians say only homosexuality too. They don't
right,
like
instead
cover
of like
anything
all
else.
The GBT sure. Yeah. Plus. Yeah. Two, she does not believe homosexuality is a sin and she's covering her bases. Or three, she truly doesn't know and she truly is trying to be discerning and learning. But I find it so interesting now. If you look at her Twitter, her Instagram, this is all it is now. The comment section is rotten with people who are pissed off at
really?
Her.
On both so, sides yeah. of the issue?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh
so
goodness.
All the Christians that want her to say, yeah, it's a sin. Obviously, it's a sin. They're all very mad at her. And so she's already starting to erode and alienate some of that base.
The ones that are saying... That,
you need
that,
to be more Christian and you should
that
have
homosexuality
condemned this.
Is, yeah.
Be people, our Christian role model.
People who are mad that she has not condemned homosexuality, which is, I just find this so, this is such a fascinating moment because it's like, how many of these people didn't care at all that she did, Ellen? But then the fact that she said, I don't know, because there's a huge contingent, I'm sure, of Ellen's viewers that are like, yeah, I believe gay people are blah, 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 but I like when she dances.
Right.
Like in... That sort of thing, or like, yeah, get the message out there, Daigle. Go hang out with sinners on Ellen. And now it's like, to do the mainstream thing, you can't play this game anymore.
Yeah, you can't
you
pretend
can't.
Like, well, it's just for everybody, especially when someone asks you that point blank, basically.
Yeah.
And this is like the fact that this is such a crucible question, too, of like, are you one of us? Are you of the world? And friends, the amount of, and I did not watch all of any of them, but the amount of like YouTubers making videos like the problem with Lauren Daigle or like what I think about Lauren Daigle or what Lauren Daigle's thing tells us about Christianity today is wild. Now, the hopeful thing is the idea of like she, I feel like the first two options are cynical, but the third option of like she actually is trying to discern and she doesn't know. Maybe that's optimistic that she is telling the truth.
Am I a total goon?
No.
I was like, she means it. She's just trying to figure it out. Because like for her to say, word it in that way,
yeah.
to say that she spoke with her friends and like she can't see it as like wholly wrong. I feel like she's humanized at least the discussion. To simply say like, I have friends who are homosexuals. I think that I got to give her a little bit of credit.
Yeah. Well, and I think so too. And maybe I'm trying not to be cynical too, but I think just based on like what I do know or have seen of Lauren Daigle,
oh, yeah.
I feel like she's probably being like trying to be careful with her PR and aware mm-hmm. of it, but also kind of being honest at least of like, yeah. To me, if I'm reading in myself into it, I think she's like, I really want to believe it's not wrong, but I'm too scared to do that yet, or I haven't like worked out the theology yet
yeah.
to feel
yeah.
okay about
yeah.
it. And
yeah.
so I'm not going to say anything before I'm like ready to defend it or something like that, which we have to acknowledge too, like as people who are not part of this community, it can be interesting for us when for a lot of people, this is like severely damaging and difficult for them.
Sure.
And so I don't want to pick this apart of like, ooh, what an interesting like little play thing. Like this, people's lives are at stake in a way. And not that Lauren Daigle will decide their fate, but like she is, I think, the face of like this weird time span that we are in with Christianity of like there's still so many people who lived through Prop 8 and now it's legal. And they're
yeah.
like Southerners who have to figure out how to like be part of the union all of a sudden without like. letting it out there that they're still racist or
oh,
whatever.
That's a, yeah,
you know what
that's
I mean?
An interesting analogy.
And so
yeah.
It sucks. It's like, it sucks really bad.
Yeah. But hopefully,
but this, yeah, it's kind of exemplary to see her like do it out loud.
Yeah, maybe she'll come out on the right side of things. I'm hopeful for Ms. Daigle, honestly, because you know, reading the answer, I was like, ugh. But listening to it, I kind of felt like you. I'm like, maybe she's not putting up a front. Maybe this is like a genuine moment of vulnerability. And then it did make me think, there's a guy named Jonathan Merritt who has complicated politics all his own. But he put out an article about like the lost art of discernment in, mm-hmm. in like discourse and conversation. Yeah. Where saying I don't know about stuff does feel like it's not an option. Mm-hmm. Like if you say about a particular issue, I don't know, I'm not sure yet, then sometimes it does feel unacceptable. I felt that at times too. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it is. It's 100% different when it affects like the value and worth and dignity and the affirmation of a human being. It feels like a slightly more dangerous thing to say, like, oh, I'm not sure if I affirm a person or not.
I'm not going to help them, you right. know, or anything yet yeah. until I'm sure. Uh-huh.
But, you know, I think about even like family members or super conservative family members that we have where it's like, you want to encourage them in the right direction and not like just like practice like cancel
shut it
culture.
Down.
Yeah.
yeah.
So
I get it. It's the art of calling people in instead of calling people out. That being said, it is really hard to, I will say, I think a lazier answer would have just been like, you know what? I don't know. I'm not God. I think that's a very normal answer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it was like, I don't know. And these are the reasons why. And that's, come on now, Daigle.
Come on, Daigle. You're close.
Come
get
on,
to the
Daigle.
Finish lane.
Go back on Ellen and say, I love you, Ellen.
Honestly, Ellen. You should Dance be her PR her. Person because that is brilliant. That's actually genius.
That actually would be.
And if she did that and this like incredibly successful Christian artist said, I affirm gay people.
Yeah.
That would affect change. I'm not like the modern family stuff, it's easy to write off like sitcoms and the effect they have, but culture does matter. So
does.
this stuff does matter. And maybe there's like impressionable listeners or people that are discerning themselves are like, well, maybe Lauren Daigle says, you know, like it does affect things.
I mean, how many people signed up to vote after Taylor Swift tweeted? Yeah. I mean, it's a real thing. You know?
Depressing amount.
Depressing amount of people.
Oh boy. So that's been our segment we call Hey. What's going on with Lauren Daigle?
Look up, child.
We'll check in
Daigle.
With her from time to time and see what's what. We're recording this way in advance. Maybe the situation has progressed since then, but we'll see. We'll see. But great conversation. Gosh, I really love the perspectives that you guys both had.
Oh, thank
And thank you.
You
for keeping me accountable for not making LGBT stuff to be a plaything in a conversation.
I'm sorry. I felt very shitty.
After
you feel condescended too.
No, it's true. Yeah. It's people. It's not like, like sometimes people treat it like football. Like the way they do politics, but that's a good perspective to have, that these are people. But that being said, it's time for the hunt for the best Christian song of Lego. All time.
Okay.
You are the best Christian song of all time. It's not dumb, it's cool.
No,
and
I
funny.
Love it. I mean, dumb in the way I love it.
You know when you hope for something and it happens, it feels like magic.
Yeah, like our brain like filled in what we wanted to happen and it did.
Oh my God.
Wow, what a compliment. Oh boy.
All the whatever happens now is just gravy. That was really great.
Oh, well, the first song, the first nominee, and again, these nominees have just historically come from me. I encourage listeners to send in your nominees, goodchristianfun@gmail.com. If you ever want to do two and two and pit them against each other, let me know. But these nominees have come from me. The first song up is a song called River by an R&B trio, R&B pop trio, I would say, called Out of Eden.
This is Out of Eden?
Yeah.
I love Out of Eden.
They were like your guys, right?
Yeah. They were my first concert.
Ever?
Ever.
Ooh. Freedom!
Right. And Freedom. Michael Jackson.
Yeah, is that funny?
It's hard to see that, hard to believe that.
What?
Time. Whoa.
I'm home.
Chewy, we're home.
Is that three women?
Yeah.
This feels good.
This does feel good.
This song is like, do go chasing waterfalls.
Waterfalls are good.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
Buttery vocals.
It's not bad,
so
right?
So good.
It's a smooth spread.
When they do that kind of breathy trio singing, like, how to take it down. This right here. I love it. My father watches over me night and day. Yes, he does.
I'm so delighted to be walking away. I love this, actually. This chorus slams.
Slaps so hard.
You can see the choreography. Take you through the bridge? No, not yet. Another chorus.
Yeah.
A little backstroke.
Okay.
Backstroke. So that's pretty much it. River,
yes.
By Out of Eden. Yes, Caroline, this is kind of the only Christian band you were following as a kid, right? Mm. Like, your number one with a bullet?
Pretty much, yeah. I think. I think there were a couple others. But yeah, this was like my first big one. And I had my like first spiritual experience at an Out of Eden concert.
Really?
In Michigan.
Oh.
Sitting at the front of the church. I think I was like 6. And my sister and her cool friend were with me, and I remember just like sobbing and not knowing why, and being like, and they're like, "What's wrong?" And I was like, "I don't know, but it's, I don't know." And it was like just God or something.
Wow.
I don't know. And it was great, and I think they like prayed for me. It was great. I just
Your friends
love Out of Eden.
Or Out of Eden? they stopped the concert. They're like, "Hold up."
They're like, "Can you be quiet?
We're trying to play music.
It's not your moment." But yeah, Out of Eden is great. I never heard this song, though, I don't think.
This is a song
really kept up with
from one of their albums in 1999
mm-hmm.
that came out. So that feels like it would be in your strike zone, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You've been like 8, 7 years old
or
something?
I was 9.
Yeah. When the mountains fall, when the stars collide, I know you'll be there standing by my side. Mm. When the river runs, overflows the seas, I know you'll be there, still be loving me.
Ooh.
So this is great because it's almost like Christian music provides wish fulfillment that pop music sometimes can't, where it's like, what if the guy or the girl that you're super into
yes.
is God?
Well, actually,
is literally God, and like, and
that's it.
Is actually what?
Will actually always love you.
Yeah, that's right.
There is something like, I am feeling chills right now. I was having the exact same experience of like, this is what pop music cannot do.
Mm.
Like, because no human can never disappoint you or always be by your side. But it's like, ooh.
Delivers the promises.
Impactful.
Sure.
Impactful.
Yeah. And
this is
so
kind of,
funny.
It's like a love song in some ways too. This is a little bit of a Jesus is my boyfriend kind of song.
Sure. But yeah, if it was like a pop song, the bridge would be like, and we might have some hard times and some bad times, but I know we'll reconcile eventually. But this, it can just be, it's all good.
Oh yeah, that eternity.
The mountains fall, the stars collide.
Eternity, yeah.
So many declarative statements. God will not make a fool of you.
Yeah. He won't make you a cuck, Kevin.
He he's working on that promise for you, Kev. Oh my gosh. He's about to deliver.
I was talking with our friend Chelsea about if you I hope this doesn't happen, but if you did pass away before me and we did like a seance night and we had like a Ouija board, it's like, oh, it's moving, and I'm holding it, it goes, see you.
See you soon.
Oh, see. Uh-oh. Okay. Oh, come on. Even from the grave. Good grief.
Keeps going until it spills out cookie cheese.
Cookie cheese.
That's a long joke.
Wow.
Even from the grave.
Don't you have something better to do in the afterlife?
This is what you were talking about when I'm not around. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to call you a cuck from the grave.
Yeah. Well, the conversation, that's so nice. You know, when you're in your 20s, the conversation used to be like, oh, who do you think will find love first? Or maybe who will get married? And now it's who's going to die first or last?
I hope it's me.
Hey, I don't hope it's you.
So I don't have to live in a world without Kevin.
Oh, that's very sweet.
That is sweet.
Oh, so Caroline's playing a character on the podcast, too.
Just playing it up.
All right, the second nominee for the hunt for the best Christian song of all time is a song called Shackles, / Praise You by Mary Mary.
This is my song.
Really? Is this true?
Yes.
Oh, Mary knows it.
Oh, she's mouthing it.
She's doing very elaborate choreography to it. She's gotten up from her chair. Oh, wow. That's flexibility right there. Whoa.
Gymnastics, 8 years straight.
Dang. Wow, really? Oh, wow. Oh, okay. Of my mind, I just can't seem to find a reason to believe that I can break free. Cause you see, I have been down for so long, feel like all hope is gone. But as I lift my hands, I understand that I should praise you through my circumstances. I just want to praise you.
Some auto-tune. Oh, heavy auto-tune.
I've never heard that before.
I know. I feel like that's an edit. That's
bold auto-tune.
Mary Mary walked so T-Pain could run.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I love it.
Lordy, lordy. Oh. What?
What happened?
You remember it?
No, I just didn't know there was all those woo-woo-woos in there. Wow.
Yeah.
There's some flourishes.
Yes, Bridge.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Mary, I feel bad. We didn't ask you during your guestimony, what was your exposure to Christian pop culture, Christian music and stuff?
Clearly you know this.
You know this song?
I do know this, but I heard this much later after it came out. Okay. My friends and I in Chicago, weirdly, these two girls in the improv scene, Emily Wilson and Colleen Murray, we were weirdly obsessed with, like, praise music.
Yeah?
Really?
From this era. So a lot of, like, Kirk Franklin.
Sure.
Do you guys know... Take Me to the King?
Take Me to the King. I'm
by
looking
Kirk
it up right now.
No. This is... Oh, I don't... Tamala? Somebody?
To the King.
Take Me to the... Oh,
Tamala?
Oh, it might be Tamala Mann.
Yes. Take me to the King.
I don't have much to bring. Okay.
My heart. Let it build.
Okay. This is like your warm-up before you guys get going.
There's right? Some zip zap zop. You're singing Take Me to the King.
To the King. Yeah. Truth is I'm tired. And then you get to go like this. Ooh, I'm tired. Phew. Do a lot of ad-libbing. Mm-hmm. But
where are you? Oh, this is a later artist. This came out in 2012.
Yeah, against
me
of Oprah.
Out.
I'm all churched out. You guys, it's building. This it's building good. And it's coming for you.
I can't fake what's left to do.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
Come on. Truth Ooh. Is I'm weak.
Oh, this should have been a nomination.
No Again,
that wasn't me.
Lower build than I thought. Sorry.
No, but it's worth it.
Okay, thank you.
We're here
thank
for
you
the slow bid.
I'm so glad you brought this to the table.
Fun.
Oh, yeah.
We're all going to be singing this in our cars.
Steal my soul, refuses to
Again, much slower on the build than I remember.
No, it's okay. Don't worry. Okay. I'm patient.
We got
I'm
12 here. Minutes left.
Yeah. I got time.
Here comes the guy.
Take me to the king.
Oh.
I don't have much to bring. My so heart's pretty. Torn in pieces. It's my offering.
Yeah.
Lay me at the throne. Leave me there alone.
Ooh. Mm.
To gaze upon your glory and sing.
How did you find this lady?
I don't remember. I do love like Mary Mary, and I think I probably had them on, and like, and also in our makeup trailer rapey bio, there's a lot of like gospel music in there in the morning.
That's fun.
It's wonderful. And my mom always texts me Daily Bread. I don't know if you're familiar.
Yeah. No. Is that like just the daily verse of the day or something?
Yeah, like a anecdotal story and then like a verse and then how they whatever.
She texts you one every day.
Without fail. Oh,
like a bot.
So sweet.
Yeah, like a bot. So like a Russian bot. Yeah. Oh. I like unsubscribe. But it is weird because I started reading it to like people in the trailer. I'd be like, well, Big One is coming through with the daily bread. And I would read it. And hell if we didn't feel a little different afterwards,
I
though.
Bet. Like, just like, man, that feels really good.
It started off as wow. kind of like a joke. And now it's like, it really does fulfill my heart.
Quiet down. Here's Daily Bread. Yeah. Wait, that's turn like, it up. What's going on over here with Tamala? I don't want to miss it.
That's it. You're going to love when it starts to break apart.
Is there a Kirk Franklin breakdown?
He does talk.
Or does he just go, come on?
He does
a lot of that.
Talk. Oh, Kevin. That's beautiful.
Isn't it pretty?
Her newest album cover is so aggressive. Have you seen it? It's her and her husband kissing.
Whoa! She's most
she
of
was
the frame.
Movie.
No, they are lip to lip.
And why is he there?
It says David and Tamala Mann, Us oh, Against the World, The Love Project. That's her newest album. The Love Project.
I don't know if it's symbolic, but she takes up 3/4 of the pictures, though.
We know who the star is.
Yeah, I'm here for Tam.
Thank you.
Wow, this is good. Let's put this in the ring.
All right.
For best song.
This is a nominee now.
Wow.
Take Me to the King by Tamala Mann.
There's a choir.
By the way, choirs are really expensive to hire if you want to do it for your live podcast show. As I found out.
You looked into it?
I did. I have for past shows where I'm like, oh, maybe it'd be fun if we did.
That
but
would be great.
Now, here's what I want to
yes, ma'am.
Throw out to you. I have for now 2 years been like just mulling around about this idea of like creating a little choir. And I'll tell you, people are constantly like, I need that in my life. I need some sort of like joyful singing. And I think it only can happen if it really is just like, maybe for this. Maybe we get a choir together
I
for your podcast.
Oh, Lord.
Be a part of that.
Kevin and Caroline and the GCF Street Singers.
Come on.
Oh, my gosh.
The GCF Street Choir would be what it would be. Wow.
We will take it. Okay, please do. And I will be the American tenor.
I think I'm a tenor as well. I still sing in a church choir from time to time.
You do.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And as we're recording this, the holidays are coming up. We're about to do.
Are you doing the Christmas choir?
Yeah. Oh,
fun.
Yeah.
They're like a little, you can just kind of jump in anytime, which is nice.
That's cool.
Oh, yeah. If you want to show up, I'm sure they'd be happy
to
have
it. You.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I love it.
Oh, boy. But out of these three nominations, what do we think is the best Christian song of all time? Between River, Between Shackles, Between Take Me to the King. Honestly, put the three of them together, they tell a little story.
Hello?
Oh my gosh.
Right?
This is a beautiful triumvirate we've created here. I love this music. I love these artists. I'm just going to come out of the gates. And I, listening to it again, I think that Mary Mary song is actually the best Christian song
you've ever heard.
I've ever heard. Yeah. And I know that's like such a, it's a, it's kind of its own category, but everyone loves it, even if you're not a Christian.
Absolutely.
Which is kind of special. And it's just, it makes you move, but it makes you say, I'm just going to praise him over and over.
It makes you feel sexy, like, but not too sexy.
Not too sexy. And it's like weirdly timeless. Like it's still fun to listen to and not, it doesn't feel like it's super dated in a bad way. I really think it's the best one.
I will vote for, of these three, I have to also vote for Shackles. There's a little nostalgia factor attached to it because I was a part of a dance troupe that did choreograph a number to this.
You did
song.
A liturgical praise.
That's right. No, if I played the song again, I could do all of the choreography for the course. I will not do that.
Why did you not do that?
Because the headphones don't go long enough.
I think you do need to do a supplemental video for this particular podcast.
Hey, for the Patreon. You get to see Kevin's bod.
Patreon.com/goodchristianfun. Hey. Hey.
Good to see him move through our subscription.
We have -5 subscribers for the month of January.
We're being sued by the state.
Patreon is shut down by a vacuum.
No, people would love to see that.
Clicking. Okay. So yeah, I say Shackles as well. I love this song. And I think you're right. There's a weird phenomenon of people who listen to it or like who know it. Mm-hmm. Who know it. The music video is 19 million views on YouTube currently. So there's still some resonance with it to this day.
Yeah.
And it's not, I don't know what it about it, like Shackles from my feet so I can dance. I just want to praise you. It even though it's weirdly like you couldn't mistake it to not be a Christian song like you can some Christian songs, it still feels good. And maybe it's like, you know, like last week's guest Aaron was talking about where Christian music is almost a genre, like sci-fi music is a genre or sci-fi film is a genre of film where it's like you don't have to believe aliens exist to enjoy it. You can still enter into that as like a fun genre. So I'll say Shackles.
No one doesn't like a choir. It's part of our being. It's to hard like to refute. Voices together.
Oh, yeah, you think so?
I do. I really do think so.
It is a nice sound.
Yeah, I've never heard someone say, I hated this really good choir. Like
choirs.
Maybe they exist. If you're one of those people, write in. But it'd be hard.
If you're one of those people, unsubscribe from the podcast. You know. I don't want you.
No, we need.
I'm gonna really.
We need every subscriber. We need every vote. We love them. We need every vote.
What is your vote?
Well, I didn't mean to be such a copycat, but I'm with you guys.
You were? Hey. No, it's okay. I mean, it's.
It's so
It's because
good.
It's the best song.
Yeah, and I also feel like I remember having this really dorky experience of hearing this song, like loving it, listening to it a bunch, and then one day just being like, take the shackles off my feet so I can dance. Like, it finally clicked about, like, what an incredibly freeing and joyful message that is.
Yeah.
I don't care who you are. We all have shackles. We need to take them off so we can dance.
But and I think it's like, it's a great mix of a really good pop song rooted into like a really painful history for this people group that was able to sing about it that 100%. Way and then also make it like this amazing song. So it just works.
Yeah, it's weirdly loaded. It feels like pop music functioning at its best. Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah, this might be actually the best Christmas. Should we end this
as
segment?
As soon as you played it, I was like, oh no, it's the best one. No, we'll carry on because I think there's like, if you go beyond maybe this like genre of music, we could find the best.
Yeah, I did
choral
have
choral Christian song.
Sure, ooh, no, and that. I did have different. I decided to go this way for tonight, but I did have different genre pairs selected. Mm. So, like, if we wanted to do something Latin, we could have done that. If we wanted to do a ballad, we could have done that.
Sure,
but, the best like dad rock Christian song.
It's all of them.
A lot.
I think it's all of them.
I do have a question. Did you guys ever grow up with the song? All I remember is the hook. It's wrong way, wrong way. Don't go the wrong way.
I don't think so. I like that.
Whoa, wrong way, wrong way.
Yeah. It's like a kid
this
song.
This is a Christian song?
It was a Christian song. I hesitate to call it a rap, but I do think that's what it was intended.
Wrong way, wrong way.
See?
Way.
Don't go the wrong way.
Wrong way.
There's like hand wrong motions, way. Like wrong way, wrong way.
Don't. go the wrong way. Well, now we got to figure this out. Listener, if you do know,
yeah,
please
if you
let
know,
us know.
Yeah, and we'll post it.
Yes.
Okay.
Wow. Fun. What a fun hunt. This has been the hunt for the best Christian song of all time.
You are the best
Christian song of all time. Okay.
Pokemon Go.
Oh yeah, we
Hillary.
Could, oh no, Hillary reminded us. Thank you, Hillary. You vote for the best Christian song of all time.
Oh, she came off of her Christian hike Fun to let Pod. Us know.
I'm no longer gonna be a Sasquatch. I'm gonna get on Twitter and vote on the GCF podcast for one of these
all
songs.
All voting is important.
All voting. Trust
really?
Me.
Pokemon Go to the poll.
At Christian Fun Pod, you can vote for your best Christian song of all time there. Oh boy.
Keep chilling, girl.
Oh, all right, but now it's time to bring it down, Mary. It's time to bring it down to holier space. All the lights are dimming in the sanctuary.
Wow.
Our muscles are getting relaxed. The massage envy lady.
The drugs are kicking in.
The kush is hitting.
The massage envy lady That's will right. be returning.
Mary, we're not here to promote ourselves or plug our own projects. We're here to lift them up. We're here to lift up our social media handles and lift up our own projects.
Yeah.
And lift up what we might be enjoying in secular culture. So as per usual, we'll start with Caroline.
I would like to lift up my Twitter and Instagram, also the glory of God. You can also give glory to God at Caroline's Farts if you want to follow me there.
Mm.
And I will be, for pop culture, I'm going to lift up Judas by Jeff Loveness. He talked about it on our episode. That will come out before this.
Yes.
One, right? Okay. He was great, and he wrote this graphic novel looking at the story of the crucifixion from Judas. And there's a point where Judas goes down to hell and forgives Jesus for what he did to him. Ooh. And it's like so beautifully illustrated and like kind of profound and might wreck your faith. So just know that.
Uh-oh. Do we have to end the podcast, Caroline? Is this your way of telling me?
It's so good. And it was nice for me because it kind of scratched that itch of wondering like, why did the mechanism of salvation or whatever have to work this way? And it's just really good and just really entertaining if you like a good graphic novel.
Mm-hmm.
So I was going to loan it to you, Kevin, if you want it.
I was going to buy it. So I would love for you to
loan
it.
Well, you should buy it and support
it. Well, I will buy it, but also loan it to me until it gets there.
Okay. And it's just like a really nice cover.
It's very beautiful.
Stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, so check that out.
That is a beautiful cover.
Oh. Yeah.
Judas by Jeff Loveness. Mm-hmm. And who's the illustrator on that?
Jacob Rebelka.
Jacob Rebelka. Thank you, Caroline. Yeah. We turn it to Mary. One Mary.
I just want to say thank you so much.
Oh.
I'm feeling the Holy Spirit fill me up.
Hey, aww. Thank you.
Please find Reflections of God's Promises at Merrill Swan.
Would you say I could get my daily bread from Merrill Swan?
Man cannot live on bread alone. So
I can.
I love bread.
Man can't live on bread alone, but Oprah definitely can.
Oh man, it's a shame we aren't pastors because we would just be
we would kill it.
Good
oh my
jokes.
Gosh. I mean, like I would like to start as a youth
easy
pastor.
Crowd.
You know, have a tougher crowd at first.
Uh-huh, yeah, I kind of work out the kinks.
That's right.
Yeah.
Grow some chest hair, and then when I'm ready.
Whoa.
Really light that up.
Wow, I really used that turn of phrase wrong. Hairs on your...
Grow some hairs on your
hair
chest.
On your,
puts
yeah,
hair on your chest.
Yeah.
This will put hairs on your
no,
chest.
No, you weren't wrong. You,
I'm
going to
grow
it.
Some chest hairs.
I'm going to grow
the
some
famous
chest
aphorism.
Follow me now.
Wait, can you spell out your handle for people?
Sure. It's at MARROLD. SWAN Merrill Swan.
Merrill Swan.
See, Caroline does this to test each of our guests to see if they actually
make sure
know
they're literate.
Oh, okay.
And that they can read.
And if they don't, you just erase the episode?
Yeah. Yes, that's right. And we're lifting up AP Bio. Check out AP Bio. Mary's so
yes,
funny
Mary's
on that
Mary's
show.
So good on it.
So,
and I
so
very
good.
Embarrassing like realized that she was in that show and I love her so much in it. So
oh, thank you guys.
It's a great show.
Anything you're loving in pop culture right now? What's the best last thing you saw?
Creed 2.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's back at it.
Oh, man. I'm such a sucker for a montage. I just love them. I wish the whole thing was a montage.
The whole thing.
I wish it was. I wish it was
working
one
out
thing.
Quick cuts.
Has anyone ever done
movie?
A 2-hour montage for a movie?
Oh, probably.
I think it's called Rocky IV.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, that's true. That's
does
true.
He get all bruised, messed up at some point?
Oh, you know it. You know it. But also, there's at one point he wears this in his training montage in the desert with, I think, convicted felons. I think.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's pretty raw. He puts this leather strap around his head and it's connected to this giant weight and it's just him doing these neck exercises.
What?
Is it like CrossFitting?
What it's
a
like
weird
CrossFit medieval
exercise
time.
To show.
But it would like, be
like, oh yeah, the
times.
Neck. Gotta make sure.
Wow. You gotta be prepared. You gotta bulk that neck up.
Bulk, strong. The neck takes most of the energy.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
wow.
How boxing works. Yeah.
Great move.
The neck. Be neck forward.
We're neck positive here Creed on Good two. Christian Fun. I loved Creed 1. Looking forward
loved
to Creed
too.
2. Well, you can lift me up at Kevin T. Porter on everything. And I... Wait, do I not have anything? No, I don't have anything to lift up. I'll lift up... everything I have to lift up is something I've said before.
Do a repeat.
Do a repeat?
Yeah.
Ooh, if I had to do a repeat, yeah, Julian Baker. I still love that album so much.
Send that home.
Yeah. Julian Baker, Boy Genius, I already lifted that up too. I already lift everything up. I've come to the end of my taste making.
It's difficult to have discovered new material every week. So
well, and especially when we did back to back. Because we recorded an episode last night.
Yeah.
And I blew two of them. I should say The Intern for tonight, because that movie does rock. And Caroline thinks I'm wrong. But I think
but I'm also
right.
Like, enjoy The Intern. I don't care. You know what? Live your life.
Yeah. But I'm not satisfied with that. I want you to enjoy The Intern too.
Did
you
so see it? Nice. I did.
You did see it?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That's why I feel strongly. Ooh.
You think we have different tastes, but we actually have similar tastes.
I don't know.
Really?
I don't think so.
I think we do.
I
not
like,
with music.
Yeah, but I
not
feel like there's...
I almost said, and I'm not making fun of you, but it's just the first thought. I do love Thor Ragnarok.
I know you love Thor Ragnarok.
Yes, it's great.
No, I love it. I mean, I love it, and like, you know, you just love Thor movies. Like, they're good. Kevin has turned it into like, that's the only movie I love for some reason. And then he was like, oh, Caroline's going to bring up Thor again this time. Or like, oh, Caroline's mentor is Captain America or whatever. And it's not.
It's just funny to think of you as like, and I know you. You're like a very particular, unique soul. And it's so fine. And honestly, sincerely, I think your taste is great. But it's so funny to apply just like, you like the most popular movies of all time.
Yeah, yeah. They're popular. I like them.
But I like playing into the fact that that's all you like.
I know, it is funny.
But it's not. No.
It's humorous.
We see a lot of movies together that we both enjoy a lot.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
I just want to connect with you.
Maybe we do have the same taste.
And I love you, and you're a great co-host.
I love you too, Kat.
We didn't do the wrap-up at the end of the year with our Christmas episode, but I do...
Oh, yeah.
Maybe we'll do it for an episode that'll come out after
sure.
the... Yeah, anyway, we'll
sure.
get to it later. Lift us up everywhere at Christian Fun Pod. Leave us a review on iTunes/Apple Podcast. We donate $1 to charity for every review you leave. We're donating to St. Jude's.
That's correct. St. Jude's. They help families month. Pay, even if they can't. It's great.
Mary, thank you so much for
thank
joining
you guys.
Us
what
on
a
the
thank
show.
You so much for being here and spending
what
time with us.
Pleasure.
So fun.
Busy schedule.
What a delightful guest. And there's nothing left to say except for... And all of Pod's people said, Amen.
When the shackles fall upon the small dance.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, we got to go on with that one. Right?
I mean, this is pretty good, but...
Oh, yeah, I should mute it. Caroline,
I don't know anymore the words.
Okay. I will see you next week on GCF. Goodbye. Oh, hey, y'all. It's me, Immigrant. Okay, 2019 is so far so good, right, y'all? It's been a good year for the show. I'd say, I dare even say, it's been the best year yet for the show. We didn't have these kind of gangbang blockbuster. You know, I shouldn't have said gangbang. I meant like gangbusters, and I said gangbang. Amy made a boo-boo. Amy, that might have been a Freudian slip for Amy. Me and Vince got plans with Michael W. Smith and his wife later tonight, so maybe that's what I'm thinking of. But be that as it may. Next week on GCF, Kevin and Caroline are talking about the Pure Flix movie, Same Kind of Different as Me. That's the title of it. It's on Netflix. You can stream it for free. You don't need to pirate it or, like, you know, pay $3.99 iTunes for it. It stars Greg Kinnear and Renee Zellweger. It's called Same Kind of Different as Me. And you can't even wrap this under the tree, but next week, here comes Same Kind of Different as Me. I can't believe it's called. I truly can't believe it's called that. All right, but, you know, watch it. Kevin and Caroline watching. Going to talk about it next week. Going to have a great time. So, yeah, that's it. Gotta go. Michael W. Smith, shoot me a text right now. Amy, my name is Grant. Over and out.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.